What's good, everybody? You're tuning in to Press and Play with Kayla J. Right now, I have an amazing artist, amazing vocalist, lyricist, dancer, activist, just wonderful and brilliant all the way around. I have the beautiful, talented Marquee.
Hi.
What's good, baby?
What's the crack?
I'm so glad to have you on Press and Play with Kayla J again.
We're trying to do
this Juneteenth edition stuff, and I had no idea who I should interview for this, but I wanted to still, interview artists.
Yes.
For this show.
Well, I'm glad you thought of me, baby.
Yes. So before we really start getting into, topics surrounding Juneteenth, I just wanted to catch up with you because our interview that we did was forever ago.
I know. What was that, a year ago?
That was before Cabo and everything.
Yeah, it was. No, it wasn't a year ago. It was about maybe 9 months ago.
Almost. Yeah, a long time. So I just want to talk about Cabo a little bit and, what did you think about the response?
Yeah.
Everything. I want to talk about the videos, everything.
Yes. I mean, once Cabo was done, I felt this, I won't say, relief, but definitely,
yes,
release. Because it was, taking that amount of time to really curate the sound that I wanted to go on the album and curate how I wanted to promote the album in these very,
yes,
specific and intentional ways, that was really beautiful. And it was definitely that is such a moment in time of my life, and the things that I was listening to sonically all really came through in that album, and I'm very, very proud of that work. And it just showed me that I was just having this conversation the other day, is a lot of people with their art these days, or whatever it is that they
do.
A lot of people are so concerned about staying relevant. And so,
yes,
you're just putting out content, putting out content, putting out content, putting out content. And it's not necessarily quality.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so I wanted the album to come out way sooner than it did. But because I wanted to take the time to make sure it was right.
Yeah.
And that once it was out, it would be something that I was proud of.
Yes.
It needed to take its time.
Yes.
And so when it did finally come out, I was oh my God, this is right. And I've been promoting it through shows, through videos, and that is amazing too, because it's the album came out, cool, we let it rock and breathe a little bit, and now we're coming out with videos for the album, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Also getting ready to release new music. So it's
wow, yes.
No shade, but it's nice to be able to put out a body of work, and I haven't released new music since then, and I've been able to eat off that album for the last 9 months. So I'm so blessed,
yes,
to be in a position where, I said, I'm eating off of an album that I put out 9 months ago without having to I haven't put out no music yet.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And so it's just it's a good, realization of taking my time to really
make a quality project.
Exactly.
Can really make it last and really be everlasting and really stick in people's heads.
Exactly.
Because when I listen to a J. Cole, a Kendrick album, they don't just drop albums like that, because they make bodies of work.
Exactly.
That are everlasting. It stays stuck in your head no matter what other new albums drop.
Yeah, it's,
it's
timeless.
The ones that are just those albums that are just they don't really have any substance, but they're just those poppy hits.
Mm-hmm.
They fade away from our memory quickly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I really feel you. And I really feel your entire rollout for everything. You had the video premiere on Complex.
Mm-hmm.
That was super dope.
Well, it was Paper, actually.
Paper, my bad.
Yeah, that's okay.
But still, that's still a major,
yeah,
platform.
And what? It's so funny that you said that, because something else that I realized during the creation of Cabo, and you said, the rollout, was that a lot of the marketing and the PR, a lot of that stuff, I do myself.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I got that Paper magazine myself.
Wow.
That write up myself.
That is so inspiring.
I was talking to someone and they were because I was telling them, I was okay, my next big release, whatever it is, I'm gonna pay a PR company to help me with the PR. And
yeah,
it was actually Dodger. She was how did you get that Paper magazine write up? And I was I literally just had my manager send them an email. And she was there you go. She was like, do you know that people pay so much money to do that? And you did it all on the strength of, like, what you've already done.
Yeah.
And, like, just, like, curating my socials. Again, making sure that, like, I'm not just posting mindless garbage on my actual Instagram feed.
Like, that probably propelled me up the most is the things, the marketing and branding that I did with my Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's so important, and we live in a time where you can really use your social media.
Yeah.
And you
just have to be strategic
about there it is
what
right
you're
there.
Posting, how you're branding yourself and things of that nature. So really quick, I just want to talk about your music videos, the concept for Roll Up. You curate those yourself?
Yes. So music videos, it's so funny because whenever I, like, usually when I'm writing the song, I'm seeing the story, I'm seeing the visual in my head as I'm writing it.
Yes.
And so I'll be sitting on these ideas for music videos for a long time before I actually get a chance to really
execute.
Yeah. And so Roll Up, Roll Up was like such a from experience video, you know what I'm saying? Because like, that's a lot of like how I spend time with people in general, but like especially like anyone I'm trying to date, I'm like, let's keep it on the low key, on some regular, like let's go get some food, let's smoke some weed, let's take a walk, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like very much so me trying to like just bring like that, like I'm a regular person. I'm also glam, but I'm also like in the video you see me even when I'm presenting femme in the video, I'm chilling. You know, my hair is in a bun.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I really wanted people to see that more, like, chill side of me in Roll Up. And then, you know, Cabo.
You went all out for
that.
Yeah,
I went high femme, but, like, also.
That was tight.
Yeah, but also, like, baddie B.
That was tight.
And the actual the concept for Cabo wasn't my own. It was the first time that like I let another like director be like, I have this idea, Tiki, like hit me up. And Tiki actually, like, I think from the moment I started performing Cabo out before it was even like released, Tiki was like, I have an idea for this video and blah blah blah. And I was like, you know, I'd be protective of my stuff. So I was like, well, okay, we gonna see. You know, and people
we
be like,
talk about
And, you know, I'd be like, you know, I'll see it when I get the deck. And then one day I got the deck and I was like, it was so wild because, shout out Gemini Gang, because Tiki sent me the deck for, like, you know, his idea for the video. And it was so, like, I didn't really have an idea for the Cabo music video, but what he sent to me, I was like, this makes sense. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, yeah, of course. This is what it is.
And I felt like it was super, super original.
Yes.
And super unique. And that person really, really knows you. Because I would think that was that would be something you would come up with.
That's how I felt. I felt like he really paid attention to, like, what I'm giving, what I'm bringing. You know, the content of the song itself. And, like, it was just executed in such a way that was, like, amazing. And something else is, like, I was just looking at the numbers that the Cabo video have done. And they're not very high. You know what I'm saying? But something I continue to, like, remind myself of is, like, the slow build. Because those videos that I've put out so far, they might not be at, like, the high caliber that, like, I want to be at one day.
Yeah.
But they were still able to be achieved with, like, next to no money.
Yes.
And executed in a way that's still quality. And that moment when the numbers do start to go up, there's going to be this solid group of, like, visual content, solid group of, like, sonic content that's already there.
I think about that too because somebody who's gonna provide whatever opportunity, the first thing they're gonna do is go look back at everything that you've done.
Yep.
So they're gonna go back, and that's what I thought about even as a new artist coming in. I wanted my singles for my artwork to be on point. I wanted them to be quality. You know, I just think about that all the time. Yeah. I think about somebody's going to go on my Instagram page and they're going to be scrolling. Because
we do, I do it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
they're going to be scrolling. Yeah. So, wow, really dope. So I want to switch gears and we can, you know, get into some more Juneteenth-ish topics.
Yes.
But first, I want to talk about Pride and the festival and the parade and the activities and just kind of get your overall thoughts on it and, you know, how everything was executed. I know a lot of big brands were throwing events and stuff like that.
Yeah, so the last, I'll say, you know, 3+ years of Pride, I definitely have been reevaluating how I participate. Mostly because I feel like recently when Pride comes around, there's always so... Unfortunately, there's so much infighting that happens because, you know, Portland's small, and if you, you know, don't necessarily have the, you know, clout or social capital that you would like, you know what I'm saying? There's all of these, like, insecurities that come out in people that I notice about, yes, like, their parties or what they're doing or whatever, and people just, like, start fighting and bickering in these, like, interesting ways, and I'm like... And a lot of it is, like, white queens. And I'm like, this is very, like, unnecessary, and it's very, like, counterintuitive to, like, what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And for me, too, also is, like, being, like, a musician and, like, a, like, public figure, I guess.
Yeah.
I hate using that word, but... it's, like, the past 2 years were my first years kind of, like, dabbling in corporate Pride, this year especially.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think that, like, partnering with, like, corporations like that is a bad thing. Okay. But for me, I have to be very intentional and, like, mindful about how I do participate with, like, corporate brands.
Yeah.
Because it's tricky because these corporations ultimately, you know, a lot of them are profiting and capitalizing off the fact that it's a good look.
Yes.
You know, to have, like, queerness, blackness, you know, attached to your brand.
To your brand.
And
because it's like, look at us.
Yeah.
We're pro.
So it's like, buy from us. But it's like, how are you supporting
what
us
are you
throughout
doing
the
otherwise?
Year?
Yeah, throughout the year. Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's also like, okay, you have, you know, you got the rainbow flag, blah, 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 whoop-de-woo. But, like, are you, like, you know... One weekend out of the 365 days of the year, you are donating this to the, like, to queer people. But it's like, okay, that's great. But are you donating to the most marginalized queer people? You know what I'm saying? Like, are you prioritizing black trans women? Are you, you know what I'm saying? Like, are you prioritizing black trans homeless youth? Like,
yes.
When I think about, like, Pride and, like, who needs the most help, that's
exactly
immediately where my mind goes. And so if corporations aren't first thinking about, like, the most marginalized within our community, I think it's kind of like...
Yeah.
So I think, like, as artists, we have to be, you know, so vigilant about, okay, this brand wants me to participate. Okay, what are you doing the rest of the year? What are you doing this... Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, where's the money going, honestly?
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know. Pride... I had a fun Pride, but I mostly... I was just having a lot of thoughts about, like, how we move forward.
Yeah.
Because corporate involvement in Pride is only going to become more and more of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's something to be mindful of, like, how we choose to, like, involve ourselves. Because ultimately, we have the power. Where they get us is the money.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hard, you know what I'm saying? It's hard to turn down corporate coin when you have to eat, when you got to pay your rent. You know, when this is, like, your job and, like, how you make your money, it's hard. It's very hard to be in a place to be like, I'm not taking that gig because, you know what I'm saying? Like, the you know, their practices, blah, 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 blah. It's very hard when you're not in a position to turn down money.
Yeah.
And that's how, you know, that's how they get you.
So it was perfect because you talked about trans and trans youth, and I actually I went to the parade and I went to the festival afterwards on Sunday, and I think her name is Carrie. She's a trans woman.
Sis.
Yeah, and I actually I bumped into her last night as well at the watershed thing, but she got up there and she talked about how it was just so over-policed. And she talked about another trans woman who was actually supposed to host, but literally just could not do it because, like, she had so much anxiety.
Yeah.
And so I want you to just speak on that a little bit. Like, what, why does it need to be so over-policed? Is it a move like, we're trying to protect you guys, or we're trying to see what you guys are doing?
Yeah.
Or, you know.
The reason why I have a lot of, like, problems with pride, quote unquote, is because when I think about pride and when I think about, like, I feel like pride is a cis gay man's holiday.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, gay marriage got legalized. Gay marriage was a, like, a cis gay, like, agenda bit. Like, that's what I feel like. I feel like gay marriage being legalized was for white gay men and trans people and, like our rights and, like, resources for us, we still have a long way to go. And so when I think about pride and the over-policing of pride, I think about who was the police, like, invented to protect white people. You know what I'm saying? So when I think of police at Pride, I'm like, they're not here to protect me. They're here to protect these Disney gays. You know what I'm saying? And I was watching this video of this amazing woman, this amazing, like, trans woman activist, Alyssa Pariah, and I believe it was maybe, like, a trans picnic or something that was happening this weekend. I'm not sure what was going on, but she was going in about, basically, like, there have been so, I mean, every year, but, like, this year alone, there's been so many back-to-back deaths of trans women.
Oh, my gosh.
And just, like, recently, a black trans woman by the name of TT was found hanging, and the Portland police aren't looking into her death.
Yeah,
they immediately
anything.
Ruled it out as a suicide. They're keeping her family in the dark. And it's just so telling because when it comes to pride, I feel like white gays, white cis gays especially, are so loud in the form of, like, oh my god, it's pride and, like, celebrate our freedom and blah 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 blah, and that's great, but it's like, baby, you've always been free. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to play oppression Olympics because I think that's, like, again, counterintuitive, but it's like, you have to look at the context. It's like, you have always been free, and, like, even, you know, you are oppressed for your gayness, okay, but, like, that's a really about it. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, pride for me is so hard because, like, I just, like, the most of the, I won't say attention, but, like, there's so much representation and, like, protection for, like, the white queer section of, like, our community. And that doesn't leave much for everyone else. And I think that's something that we have to address. And we really, really have to do the work of protecting, like, our black trans women, our black trans youth. Our, you know what I'm saying? It's just, like, I don't know. It's what makes, it's why I don't go to the parade. No shade. Like, I think it's great for, you know, the youth.
I was, like, excited to go to. And then when I got there, it was just,
it's too many cops.
Over it.
It's just like,
I was really excited to go to the parade, and then I was over it. And then I went to the festival, and I was really over it.
Yeah.
So I, like, walked in the festival, and I walked to the other side.
Walked back.
And then I was like, well, I came.
Yeah, you know? It's a hard thing because it's like, during Pride, it's like, I definitely feel this love for my community as a whole, you know, white gays included. But I also, as a black trans person, I have to also remind myself ultimately who this, like, what, like, who gets the most represented during this time.
Yeah.
And I can't forget that. And we just have a lot of work to do. It's no, like, you know, I'm not being like, you know, white gays and like, oh my God. It's none of like that. It's just like reminding us and myself, like, who gets the most representation? Who gets the most protection?
Yeah.
And how do we, okay, like, like, reach a hand down and help the rest of your brothers and sisters. But
exactly,
white people aren't programmed to do that, so.
Right. So I want to talk a little bit more about, or a little bit about Juneteenth. And just its connection with June as Pride Month.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know if that's mere coincidence, but it's pretty interesting how the two are interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to kind of, it's kind of an open question,
yeah.
But I wanted to, I don't know, see if, I want to hear you try and connect the two. Like, I want to learn from you right now about how those two could be interconnected.
When I hear that, I think of things, I delve a lot in the unseen and, like, spirit and magic. And so when I think about these times being very close to one another, I think about, you know, the energy of history repeating itself, or like the timelines of history and like oppression sort of weaving side by side.
Yes.
And so, you know, Juneteenth was such a significant thing for the trajectory of Black history. And so to have that juxtaposed with Pride Month, again, it's like a reminder that we aren't quite free.
Yeah.
Quite yet. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yes, Pride is like for the LGBT, like the whole community as a whole. But it's, again, like, who gets the most representation?
Yeah.
You know, certainly not us. And so, again, it's just like a reminder that, like, this was such a significant day in mm-hmm. our history, but we still have so much to do. And I think about even, like, how, like, Portland Pride specifically, like, Pride Sunday always is on Father's Day. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Which brings up a whole can of worms
for a
lot of body, especially like in my own friend group. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of us have dads that are passed. Like,
mm-hmm.
and you know, yesterday we were just like all texting each other, like, I'm holding you down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm here for you if you need to talk, because like, yeah, like my biological father passed away before I even knew him. So it's like that, it brings up all of, it's so much that it brings up. And so it's just
very,
like,
packed.
Yeah.
With so much stuff for the Black queer community.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even think like, yeah, it's Father's Day.
Yeah. Because a lot, you know, a lot of people either like don't have fathers, or have fathers that they're estranged from. You know what I'm saying? Or like that they're just not around. It's just like,
and it's so deep because it's all in the history and it's all, you know, systematic, and then you have that queer layer on top of it as well. So it's like you're trying to have pride and, you know, be empowered to be gay, and then you have some people marching with their Black Lives Matter signs, and it's like you're trying to be like empowered on this day, but you can't help but to, like,
it's hard,
feel kind of like in the back of your head, like, damn,
yeah,
like,
it's, you know, it's very hard to be Black in this time, because we have to be so hypervigilant. We have to be so solid in our Blackness and, like, uplifting, you know, ourselves first, and then our, like, the rest of our community. Because if we don't do it, no one else is going to. Like, no one else is going to prioritize us the way we will. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
period.
We, like, that's why I think, like, this is, like, a little bit off topic, but that's one of the reasons why I'm so, like, I'm such a stick. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, you could go. I was thinking about the tweet from Jemil Hill. You liked it. I tweeted back at her because she was saying good morning to everyone except for the people who are telling their mothers happy Father's Day and except for the lesbian couples.
Yeah.
And I was just so perplexed. And people were tweeting back at her like, sis, did you get hacked?
I know.
Because she's usually like...
At first, I was like... At first, I read it like, I thought maybe she was saying like, maybe like, F you to people who say those things in a way to be shady, you know what I mean? Like, happy birthday, you know, like, you're, like, a masculine, like, happy, like, in a way to be shady. But then I was like, no, because I'm like, I've definitely, like, my mom, for a few, like, a lot of times, like, growing up, was a single parent and was the father and the mother, the aunt, you know what I'm saying? And so I have definitely wished my mom a happy Father's Day before. You know what I'm saying? And I've wished, like, my butch lesbian friends, like, happy Father's Day. You know what I'm saying?
Because they're playing father roles.
Yeah, it's like, it don't have nothing to do with, like...
It's not all about gender.
No, it's not
stuff.
Taking, like, it's not no taking one's femininity away. Or anything away from them. It's saying, like...
Some men who ain't even fathers to their kids was over here retweeting her tweeting.
Yeah.
And really, you know,
I know
some type of way.
I know. I have friends with, like, that had, like, their dads were single coming up, and they would wish their dads happy Mother's Day. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's not taking nothing away from them. It's like, you filled that role because nobody else was there to fill it. And so...
Yeah.
On this day... Thank you. You know what I'm saying? It don't have nothing to do with, like...
It's not taking away from the fathers that are actually really doing their thing.
Yeah, absolutely not. And, like... But that's just another thing is, like, a community as black folks, we have so much to unpack.
And that's perfect because my next question, I wanted to talk about black men, cis black men, and I guess black women, too, because I feel like... Some of them are, like, so woke when it comes to race,
mm-hmm.
but so ignorant when it comes to sex and gender.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, to be woke and to truly be enlightened covers all of those bases, in my opinion. So, I don't know. What are your thoughts on this?
I think it just goes back to that as a community, we have so much to unpack because white supremacy bleeds into almost every... construct that we have to unpack, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is like one of the problems I have with Hotep dudes is that the basis of your movement was founded upon spreading knowledge and like our history and protection for our community, but then somewhere down that line those protections and that knowledge being spread became like when it comes to women and when it comes to like gay people and when it comes to like trans people, that movement began to like prioritize us less.
Yeah.
And I don't really jive with that. And like, I feel like I see a lot of like, when it comes to like gender and like sexuality and queerness, I see a lot of cis black people saying things like, oh, you know, the demasculation of, like, the black man is, like, you know, it's, like, a tool of the white man to, like, subjugate us and blah, 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 blah. And I have a hard time with that because queerness, transness has been, you know what I mean? It's, like, existed since the dawn of time.
Yes.
And it's like before we were colonized, before like the white man snatched us up, queerness and like transness and like everything in between that, like, but especially like queerness and like two-spiritness, like gender fluidity was the most revered in communities, in indigenous communities. Like, those people, those individuals were looked to as the healers, the priests, the oracles.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The protectors.
Yeah. And just lastly, do you want to shout out any social media handles?
Oh, yeah. Follow me on IG. It's at Marquee, M-A-A-R-Q-U-I-I. Twitter at The Marquee. TheMarquii. SoundCloud, Spotify, Bandcamp, Apple Music. And the handle is the same, Marquee, MaarQuii.
You guys, we've been sitting here with the amazing Marquee. We talked about a lot of stuff.
We unpacked it, honey.
Yeah, we unpacked it, man. This has been so great and amazing. And thank you. You're tuning to Press and Play with Kayla J. This is Kayla J. I'm out.